Welcome to episode 34 of Deb and Courtney's Mixtape. Today we talk travel stories. Why does Courtney feel bad for traveling in first class? My rant about a trending video. And we delve into the world of Alleluias. Thanks for joining us. Hello, hello. It's episode 34 of Deb and Courtney's Mixtape. I'm Deb.
I'm Courtney.
There she is.
Hi.
Welcome to episode 34.
Is it? Did you check?
I did. I double checked. Triple checked. Yeah.
Because I have no idea what's going on.
Once again, it's been a while, but yeah. We're here. We're back.
Yay!
What have you been up to, Courtney? Yeah. What's the 411 on the...
Oh, what's the T?
What's the... Yeah.
What is the 411 on the DL? I know I'm just putting like... letters and numbers out there.
Sure.
What am I? No. It's October.
Yes.
It is autumn.
Mm-hmm.
Fall is in the air. Oh, I'll tell you what. We've both been gone for a while.
You've taken a couple of trips.
I'm doing that like harp music in my head. I'm like, the last time we talked. No, I went to Maine.
Correct?
For a very, very close friend's wedding. My soul sister. My sister from another mister. I highly encourage everybody I know to get married the way these two got married. Just like 45 people. Like, so kind of like you guys did, only a bit bigger than what you guys did. But just like the bare minimum, you know,
yeah.
Just the people who are really A, close to your heart, and B, able to get there, and
yes.
Like none of the extra of like so-and-so's third cousin or somebody's friend that,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They invited your mom to their wedding. So now you got to invite their 12 people to yours. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. Ceremony was less than 10 minutes.
Nice.
Right on the water.
Nice.
We walked back up the hill to the house, and the reception was wonderful. It was wonderful. The wedding was fantastic. And the trip was fantastic. I got my first taste of New England autumn.
Oh.
Holy
I haven't
hell.
I've never done that. It's on my bucket list, and I want to I want to experience that. I've heard it's gorgeous. Oh, so
get it done. Yeah. It is. Ugh, it's worth it. And we happened to go we were there probably a little bit early for the full color explosion. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just got like a taste.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, that taste was sumptuous.
Yeah. Did you want to eat it?
It was gorgeous. We went up to, so the wedding was in Bailey Island, which is kind of near Portland. But we took a couple days and we drove up to Bar Harbor, Bar Harbor.
Yeah. Have some lobster.
Bar Harbor. You know what? I did not have any lobster. Can you believe it? But everyone else I talked to did, so that was cool. Up to Bar Harbor and to Acadia National Park, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The weather was phenomenal. It was like 70 degrees. We were like... It's freaking stunning. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. The natural beauty, the sea, the power of the sea.
Oh my goodness.
The fall colors. It was ridiculous. And P.S. National parks, they do it a little differently on the, well, I don't know about, I haven't been to a ton on the East Coast, but like it was a very different national parks experience than I'm used to having. So that was cool as well. Anyway. It was a phenomenal trip. I will say this. I realize suddenly I am completely running away with this segment of this episode. Too bad. I have things to say.
That's right.
I haven't talked to Deb in like forever.
So keep
you guys.
Talking, man.
So I am.
Yeah.
Okay. God. So it was phenomenal. The day of the wedding, the weather kind of got overcast, and which was fine. Still lovely, still wonderful. And then the last day we were there, the weather turned and it was really this like heavy rain and cold and wind, and the house we were staying in had been full of another family with two children, and so it was full of lots of wonderful people and laughter and chatter and busy, busy, busy. And then suddenly they left. They flew home, and then suddenly it was just the two of us in this house that went from, like, gosh, this is bright and airy and lovely, to suddenly, like, feeling very isolated. Yeah. And, because it's surrounded by woods. Like, the house we rented was down a dirt road. The house we rented was down a dirt road and just surrounded by trees. Turkeys walked through our yard, oh. So that was weird.
Wow.
A little weird, but it's fine. But it really I got a taste of why everything really freaking spooky Ooh. Is set in New England. Yeah. Like, I completely get why Stephen King lives in Maine. I mean, not why, but, like, sure. You know, all of the pieces came together. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, we were in this house, and the wedding was over, and the day after festivities were over, and we were by ourselves. It was just the two of us, and we were like, oh, it's so rainy and cold out, and let's have, like, a nice fire in the fireplace. Mm. And we did, and we watched a movie. Mm-hmm. And that was great, you know, just hung out, just the two of us, snuggled on the couch. And then we shut everything down downstairs and went upstairs to pack, and all the lights were off in the rest of the house, and it was just in our room. And my husband was hot because he runs hot. So he's like, I know it's, like, stormy out, but can we open the sliding glass door so we can get some air mm-hmm. into our room? And I'm like, and I was kind of like, no, but okay. So we're sitting there. I'm sitting on the floor cross-legged with my back to the open screen door. It's pitch black in the rest of the house. And we're talking, and I'm folding clothes, and we're like, you know, are we all checked in? Are we blah, 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 all the checklist stuff that you do the night before you travel. And all of a sudden, I heard this.
What?
And it sounded like, whoa. It sounded like it was coming from the bottom of the stairs. And at the same moment as that happened, a rush of not cold air, as you might suspect, with me sitting by the door, but hot, like hot, hot air Ooh. Came flooding from the top of my head down my spine. Ooh. Deb, I'm just going to say, I am so proud of myself for not losing control of my bowels at that moment in time, because I'm telling you, like, the sound and then the heat. And this horrible shiver ran through me, and suddenly I was like, "Oh dear God!" I'm in a horror movie.
Right. We're not making out of this house alive.
I don't know what's gonna happen next, but it's not gonna be good. And I was frozen with fear. And I know my husband, I think he was freaked out too, but he looked at me and immediately saw my face and was like, "Okay, someone needs to remain calm.
I'm gonna be the calm one."
I was calm, but I was, like, frozen in terror, right? Like, my eyes were enormous, and I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And suddenly I was like, okay, you know what? I'm here with electricity and a cell phone and all of my modern conveniences, and I'm scared shitless.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how it felt to be out there, you know, in 17.
Whatever. Yeah.
And suddenly I'm like, okay, the whole, like, oh, I think my neighbor's possessed by the devil. I'm like, okay, maybe it makes a little bit of sense to me. Makes a little sense. So that was terrifying.
That would be freaky. Yeah, that would be freaky, especially if it was followed up with, like, the phone ringing. You know, or something.
Oh my God!
Like that.
Right?
You know, like,
oh,
the house
thank God
phone
that
ringing.
Didn't happen. No, then I would have just lost control of my. I would have peed everywhere. I'm sure.
Were you able to sleep that night?
Not really.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Not really, because I was like, I'm gonna close my eyes and, like, you know, my husband's head is gonna, like, spin around on his neck or something. I was like, this is every completely irrational nightmare I've ever had is coming true. So no, didn't really sleep. It was fine in the morning. You know, I figured out eventually, because I tried to rationalize it. I was like, oh, the bathroom window was cracked, and it was probably the toggle for the blinds.
Oh, sure.
Knocking against.
Yeah,
it was not. It was not, because I made him go in there and shut it. And then when I went in there later to see, like, they didn't reach far enough to have been bumped by the wind. So here's what I think it was. I think it was the gas fireplace, like, doing its final shut off.
Yeah. Well, you don't ever have to go back there again.
Oh, my God in heaven. It's a beautiful house. Lovely house. Yeah. We had a great stay. Apparently I need to stay spooky places with like a dozen people. I felt very, very vulnerable, but a wonderful trip.
How was your flight home then? You must have been tired. Did you sleep?
Visit Maine. Okay. So flight home, we used miles to fly out there, which was great because we were able to get on the way back a mixed cabin ticket. So for two of our three legs, we actually got to fly first class.
Nice.
Which never happens to me ever. I've flown first class like three times in my life, and every time it was something went horribly wrong. Not horribly wrong. Plane was fine, everything was fine, but like the last time the flight got delayed due to lightning, and by the time I actually got on the plane, I was so tired I couldn't appreciate anything. You know what I mean? And it was the biggest, you know, it was the biggest, nicest seat I'd ever had. And I was like, I can't get comfortable because I'm so exhausted. Yeah. I can't even sleep, you know?
Yeah.
So that was good. It was a little weird. I felt very weird lining up in the first class line, and my little socialist heart was like, I don't feel good about this.
Oh, Courtney. Oh.
It felt like I was embarrassed, and people were like lining up next to me, and I was like, I'm sorry, I think you're just as good as everybody else.
Oh, Courtney.
Like, nobody. I wanted to hold a sign that's like, none of us is better than any of the rest of us purely based on where we're sitting on this plane.
You're so funny. Oh, that's so sweet and so stupid at the same time.
I know. Okay, so highlights from the flight home besides that. When we were on the... I didn't mean to call you stupid,
by the way. But...
No, it's totally ridiculous. Well, don't worry about it. It's dumb.
Okay, all right.
It's super dumb.
I don't think you're stupid.
Oh, no worries, Deb.
Okay.
I know that.
All right.
I'm not stupid, but that was pretty dumb.
Well,
I can't help it.
It's your mind. Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants.
It does. Everyone fly coach. So, we're all equal. Okay.
I'm just going to put it out there. I know this is controversial. That's why I love Southwest Airlines, because they're like, you're all the same.
Mm.
Now they're doing the thing where you can pay extra to like get an earlier space in line to board. But that's some bullshit. Okay. There's no classes. Everyone is equal.
Yeah.
It's the Karl Marx of airlines, and I like that.
Okay. All right. I understand that. I don't agree with it.
I was like, you're wrong. But whatever. Okay, so get this. So I did some interesting people watching in the airport.
Yeah.
First of all, Deb, you know how long you're supposed to wash your hands for, right? Like, you know, like, maybe you don't. So do you know that when you wash your hands, you're supposed to work the soap up in there for, you know, at least 20 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with this? You've heard this? This is not news to you?
I think we covered it on a very, very early episode of the mixtape.
Number one, perhaps. But it's not. That's not news. I feel like that's not news. I feel like that's not a secret. Because, you know, if you don't take the time, like, you're pretty much just wasting soap.
So,
like, it's not. It's not magic, right?
Right,
like,
but wouldn't you rather have someone do a 10-second wash as opposed to a non-wash?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, if we're going to split hairs here,
sure.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
But what I'd really like is for people to actually wash their hands. This lady in the airport, she did the thing where, like, I don't even know if she actually touched the soap. She like made a motion at it, like she was waving at it, and then
soap.
she threw. I think a drop like hit her hand, and she like did this real quick rub, and then flushed her hands with water and shook them twice and walked out. And the whole thing took less than 4 seconds.
Wow!
And I just looked at her and I wanted to be like, "Hey, you know those are clean." You know, but then I thought maybe she doesn't know. I mean, maybe she doesn't care, which is also possible.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, when I'm in my own home, I don't always wash my hands for the full 20 seconds.
Sure.
Blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
I'm in my own home. Yeah. I'm in what I pretend is a controlled environment.
Yeah.
I'm not in an airport bathroom where God knows what has happened.
Well, as long as she didn't, you know, end up serving you a cocktail later in the lounge.
I don't know that. Well, no, not me.
No.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so that was annoying. But, okay, get this.
Yes.
In Chicago, in O'Hare Airport, which is, you know, potentially the Mordor of, oh, you don't know what that means. That's a Lord of the Rings reference.
Hodor?
No! God damn it!
Mordor.
Skip.
What's the phrase that you're using?
Hodor? Mordor.
Mordor. Spell it.
No.
N O. No.
No.
Okay. So it's what?
It's terrible.
Okay.
O'Hare. So I've seen some terrible things happen in O'Hare Airport, and some terrible things have happened to people I love in O'Hare Airport. It's a place sometimes no one feels like they can get out of. But this time everything went very well, except there were some really interesting people watching at our gate. A woman came over to our gate and sat down, and she promptly changed out of her UGG boots that she was wearing and into a pair of sheepskin slippers.
Okay.
Now, please help me try to understand this, because Uggs are essentially sheepskin slippers.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm very confused as to why, first of all, if you're wearing Uggs to the airport, I mean, it's really, unless you're going to do a 180 and do flip-flops, like, there's really not much you can do in the way of, like, it's not like you're going to change out of your Uggs because they're so uncomfortable. Right.
Was it maybe so she could kick them off easier?
Maybe.
When she was
like
sitting
the only
down,
thing.
Or what?
Yeah. Or temperature, maybe. Yeah. Maybe having her entire foot encased in sheepskin was too much.
Sure.
But it was really strange.
That's odd.
I just kept staring over there, like, what? Am I seeing what I'm seeing? Like, why? It's not like she went from her pumps to her tennis shoes,
sure,
or
sure,
whatever, like, or from shoes to slippers. She essentially went from, like, big slippers to slightly less enclosed slippers, which was really strange. And then at the same gate, a guy comes over with a service dog, and it's clearly a service dog. It's got the little vest, yeah, and the vest says on both sides, "Hello, I am working. Please don't pet me."
Yes.
And he sits down, and the woman across from him says, "Oh, is he a service dog?" Which already I'm like, I'm trying to read, and I'm trying not to hurt myself by rolling my eyes, like, so, so hard. She's like, "Oh, is he a service dog?" And the man says, "Yes, she is." And she says, "Oh, so can I pet her?"
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy, I mean, very, like, way, way cooler than I would have done.
Yeah.
He just says, like, "No, please don't. She's working."
Oh, that's good.
And the lady's like, "Oh." And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm really trying not to turn to her and be like, "Can't you read?" And then I'm like, "Oh, maybe she can't read."
Yeah, maybe she can.
Maybe she can't
maybe
read.
She can,
I don't know.
But you know, the whole apparatus around him with letters on it. I'm envisioning it's probably like a red or a yellow or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you could deduct any normally intelligent person would deduct that maybe this dog is a service dog.
Right. Clearly.
Right.
And I'm just always amazed because I suspect she did know how to read. I just I'm always amazed at people who think that rules do not apply to them.
Yeah. Right.
Like that yield sign is for everybody else. I'm here now, and I'm going to do this other thing.
Right.
Like, don't pet a service dog. Don't pet a service dog. If you want to talk about a service dog, that's great. Clearly, it's working. Don't fuck with a service dog.
Yeah.
It's busy.
No.
It's busy. Service dog doesn't come to where you work.
No.
Try and smack you.
No.
Whatever.
So, but the guy was very patient with her, it sounds like, and, you know.
He was super cool.
Yeah.
He was super. He was way more chill than I would have been.
Well,
I would have been like, what? And then the last cool thing that happened was we were waiting to, like, not, it wasn't even quite close to boarding, but, like, the crew was starting to go on,
mm-hmm,
and one of them had a, who turned out to be the captain, I guess, had a guitar case slung on his back. Mm-hmm. And somebody yells out, "Hey, can we get a concert? Hey, are we gonna get a concert?"
Yeah.
And he turns around rather than doing just the polite like nod and like huh and like keep moving. He turns around and he goes, "Well, I won't play while I'm flying the plane, but you want a concert right now?"
What?
And everybody's like,
"Yeah."
They're like, "Yeah, yeah." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I'll play a song right now." So captain of the plane unzips his guitar and like warms up a little bit and sings us an Elvis song.
That's so great.
At the gate. It was super cool.
Fun.
It was good. And you know what? He wasn't bad. He was not bad at all.
What song did he sing?
I believe it was Love Me. I'll be sad and blue, crying over you.
Oh, yeah.
That's completely off key,
yeah.
But you get the picture.
Yeah.
He did that right in the gate. It was so cool.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Did you
great.
Feel a connection with him through the whole flight then? Like,
I did. And then I also felt a second connection with him because when he was finished, everybody applauded. And then, you know, there's always a handful of people that think that they are just hilarious.
Yeah.
They
need to leave it for the rest of us who really are.
Pro tip for you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in a crowd of people and you think you're super funny and you have something really funny to say, chances are you are wrong. you probably don't. My recommendation, what I always do, is just keep it to myself.
Yeah.
And then later, I giggle about it or I run it over in my head and I go, "Oh man, I'm glad I didn't say that. That would have been stupid." So he serenades us and some guy goes, "Oh, does that standing ovation ensure us a smooth landing?"
Wah, wah.
And the captain, but he didn't, like, I heard it, but he didn't say it loud enough to be heard over everything.
Right.
And so the captain just turned and was like, "What's that? I'm sorry, what's that?" And then the guy just goes, "Ha ha." And the captain very politely, like, smiles and nods and then just walks away. But I'm just like, this is why I keep your mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut. Keep it shut. Applaud politely. Get on the plane. Move on with your life.
Have you ever been on a flight where people applauded after the landing?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, I guess it used to happen all the time. My mom was really big in that whenever they traveled, her and dad. And she would always applaud the landing, if you know,
well,
depending on how it was.
A lot of things were different, right? It was like
you dressed up.
Flying was not a thing that you did all the time.
Yeah.
You dressed up. Like, I remember when I was a kid, it was always like, you will dress up. My husband remembers like a transoceanic flight when he was a kid, and his parents made him wear a tie.
Whoa, a tie.
I think, or like a jacket,
he
was dressed for church, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember doing that. Of course, I also remember having ashtrays in the armrest.
Yep.
And like you'd poke it and be like, "Oh, what's in here?"
Is
ashes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, ashes. Sometimes gum.
Ew, the combo, bad. That's just bad. Speaking of traveling, have you seen the Emirates commercial with Jennifer Aniston taking the place of the mom?
I just saw it last night. Where she lets the mom have her, like, "Hi, I'm fancy schmancy Jennifer Aniston pod."
Yeah.
And she goes and hangs out with the kids.
Fucking bullshit. That's bullshit.
I thought this was the same way. I was like, P.S. Jennifer Aniston is not going to watch your kids.
Jennifer Aniston is not going to take a fucking middle seat between two kids.
Right. Your sticky ass kids. So that she can play on the console. So she can play freaking Bejeweled on the console. Doubt it.
Because you know, in those first class Emirates suites, you get you get a shower. You get a 5-minute shower.
That's insane.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's
although,
yeah,
I was just talking to someone this weekend who's like, you know why all the signs in the bathroom on the sinks in airplanes always like remind you, like, do not drink this water.
Yeah.
It's because the water on the plane, like, is not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not safe to drink. It's not safe to put in your mouth.
No.
And they were saying, because they were talking about the Emirates air and those pods, and they were like, I don't want to, because they even said that's the same water they use for coffee and tea. I don't know that for sure. I have not researched that, but they're like, don't ever drink coffee or tea on an airplane. I'm like, oh, well, there goes that. But they were like, I can't drink that water. The last thing I want to do is like put it all over my body and my face and my eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's fair. Here, I'd want to shower on a plane.
Speaking of pet peeves during traveling, it's kind of where we're going here.
Kind of.
I don't think everyone knows to put the lid down before you flush. You got to put the lid down before you flush. Here's just a little PSA, the more you know.
Yeah.
Because it's a suction thing. It's an air thing. You got to put the lid down and then flush.
And just volume-wise, like, it hurts my ears as it is. I can't imagine doing that with an open.
Yeah. And some people, you know, you get in there and it's just, well, it's a crapshoot. You spin the wheel, which you get when you go in there.
But, it is sometimes.
I didn't even know I was doing that.
Sometimes.
That was very funny.
It's literally a crapshoot, which is horrible.
So I went to Hawaii on a work trip.
Aloha.
Yes. And on the way back, I got upgraded to first class.
Nice.
And I think the most magical thing, this is Alaska Air first class, and I don't get upgraded that often, but that's the flight you want to get upgraded. That's a 6-hour flight. So,
P.S. in all the time I've known Deb, she gets upgraded, like, I won't say all the time, but not fairly frequently. She's got status, yo.
I can't believe I'm actually talking to you, Courtney, because I'm such a...
I know.
No.
I'm dirty.
I travel
terrible.
A lot. It's a perk.
I wore leggings on the plane as though they were pants. I'm
That's
disgusting.
A breakthrough.
I know. It was a big trip. It was a big trip. Don't worry. My ass was covered the whole time. Okay. Continue.
Good.
Thank you.
I've realized... Especially on this trip, the most magical thing about first class, the best thing about first class isn't the food, which is great usually, isn't the silverware and the plates that you get, real silverware, real plates.
For stabbing.
Isn't the booze, because I don't really drink on flights anyway. What's the best thing about first class is that tray that you get between you and the person sitting by you.
Because
then you don't have to worry about where your drink's going to go, and you can be free to do whatever you want. Your lap is clear.
Who gets the middle, fighting with the elbows. Yeah.
It's a total space thing.
That's pretty awesome.
Loved it. I loved it. Yeah. It was great.
I thought you were going to say that the best thing about first class was the cup of hot nuts.
Those were good, too. Yes, the hot nuts rolling around in my mouth. Salty, sweet, first class. Not just any nuts. They're first class nuts.
First class nuts.
Yeah, good stuff.
These nuts are first class.
Yes, they are. So they're... I'm going to bring up something that I came across on the Book of Faces, as you like to call it, Courtney. A lot of people are posting this with the title of, it's not clickbait because it's actual content, but.
Is it jaw dropping?
It will stir your soul. It will give you goosebumps. Okay. It will leave you speechless.
P.S. If you post anything that says something is jaw-dropping, I'm 100% not going to click on it, just FYI. Okay, please continue.
This will give you chills. These are all things that people are saying about this.
Okay.
Everyone is struggling to hold back tears.
Oh.
It's a unique, chilling spin on an old standard. Well, of course, I had to watch it. I had to listen. Yeah. And this is what it is.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you?
Courtney, are you familiar with pentatonic?
Pentatonics?
Pentatonics.
Pentatonics?
They added an X because it's cute.
I've seen a couple of. I'm familiar with their their version of Jolene.
Yeah, that they did with Dolly Parton.
The Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yes.
I watched it. Folks, there's nothing new here, okay?
Did you get chills?
No.
Was your soul rocked?
No.
Did your jaw drop?
My jaw stayed in place. No, there is nothing new here. The video is completely self-indulgent. It's the five of them. They're an a cappella quintet. Quintet.
Yep.
And I'm not saying they're not talented.
They're very good.
They're very good.
Sure.
But there's no new spin on this song. The video is five of them walking in a desert with their eyes closed, lip syncing this song and dramatically moving their arms around like they're actually singing it right then and there. Yeah, bug me a little bit, I guess.
I have to tell you, like, Hallelujah is a beautiful song, right? I mean, that's a gorgeous song and it's very powerful.
Well, this got me thinking about this song. Leonard Cohen, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think of it as the Shrek song, if you can imagine.
Oh, my God,
that.
I know. Does that make you crazy?
Oh, my God. So this was originally released in 1984. I did a little research on this song today.
Yeah.
And there's a lot out there. So it was originally released in 1984, and it was kind of a sleeper for a while. It wasn't very popular. It was because Cohen's version is very dark. Yeah. But it could have been Shrek in 2001. It could have been any number of reality musical performance competition television shows.
Correct.
Who knows? It's been listed to hundreds of millions of times on YouTube alone.
Mm.
And some statistics show that in 2008, more than 5 million copies of the song, in some version or another, 5 million copies of the song sold on CD format.
Wow.
What is your favorite version, Courtney, of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah?
I mean, it's been a while since I've heard a multitude of versions, but I like to go back to the original, I think, because his voice is very specific, and it's not expected, right? It's not pretty, like kind of a Tom Waits situation.
It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. The baffled king composing Hallelujah.
Yeah, definitely not as musical. Still very artistic, but not as musical. I mean, Leonard Cohen is more of a writer, I believe. Mm. More of a poet than a musical person, I would think.
A future Nobel Prize winner, perhaps?
Well, did you know that Bob Dylan has a version?
Oh. What?
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole song monotone.
I don't care for that. I'm sorry.
I bring him up because, of course, he just won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
He hasn't
Big
been
deal.
Returning the calls either, I guess, from the people who want to give him this award.
Guess what? Bob Dylan doesn't give a shit about your awards.
That's right. That's right.
That's what makes him BD. Mr. Zimmerman. I know it's associated with Shrek, but I do enjoy the Rufus Wainwright version. I think it's really, it's a very clean version. It's very nicely done. And I don't think you should take points away from it just because it was played over, a green ogre. I was like, troll?
This is probably one of the more popular versions here.
Yeah.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
Yeah, that one and probably this one is just as popular, the Jeff Buckley version.
Oh, Jeff Buckley.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. It really is a beautiful song, isn't it?
It is. It is.
So there's more.
Is there a Chipmunks version? No. That's what I want to know.
No.
You know what, though?
What?
I bet there is, dude.
Oh, I bet you if you Google it, there's some form of... Yeah. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. Okay.
I do.
How about with a symphony backing you up?
Mm.
Brandi Carlile?
Oh, yeah.
Seattle
I've
Symphony?
Heard that.
Wow.
Brandi has some pipes, man.
Yeah, she does. So Willie Nelson also did a version of this song. Back to the gospel choir.
Hallelujah. I love Willie Nelson.
Too.
He always makes me think of my dad.
Oh,
my dad! Like my dad and I listened to Willie Nelson from time to time when I was a kid. So,
aww.
That's quite dear.
Moving along in the versions of Alleluia.
Deb, can I just time out for a second? How many versions did you download? And did you like how?
Oh,
how
I've only got a couple hundred left here.
I just mean like. Did you move the needle yourself by downloading? Like. Every single version.
I picked some of the more interesting ones. So now we're getting into some of the more, well, this one's kind of white bread, but then again, the artist is quintessential white bread.
Oh my God, is it Nick Jonas? I don't want it.
No, Neil Diamond.
Oh.
Ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready for some Neil.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God. What?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wait for it.
No, I'm going to be honest. I'm not loving that version quite as much.
No.
Quite as much as some. Wow.
So how about a sexy version?
Yeah.
Of Hallelujah. Ready for this one? See if you can name the artist. I'm going to play this for you.
Better not be Bublé. Is this Michael Bolton?
No.
Is it Peebo Bryson?
No.
Hallelujah.
Any guesses?
Who is that? It's not Michael Bolton. It's not Peebo Bryson.
No.
is it someone like current?
No.
Oh.
No, he's making the casino scene. Making the casino circuit.
Is it Hall and or Oates?
No. Think taking it to the streets. Michael McDonald, man.
Yamo be there.
Yeah. And he kind of changed the lyrics around too. It's a very, very odd version.
God.
It's
Come
very
on.
Weird. Okay, we've got three more. One, two, three. Three more. How about JT? He's bringing sexy back.
Shh, no.
And he's doing the Hallelujah. Duet there with Matt Morris, whoever that is. They did that for MTV, some Haiti relief album or something.
Okay. I was about to be like, hey, you know, just because it's a, you don't have to cover everything.
That's right. That's right.
If it was for a Relief concert, I'm kind of like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But I'm just like, ugh, that's just enough. Enough, JT. You're good. We get it. But yeah. It's too much.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Now, this next one, this artist was an overnight sensation. And I listened to this version and it was so difficult to listen to. So I just isolated the very last few seconds of this song.
Better not be Biebs.
It's like she's waiting for the piano and the piano's waiting for her and who's gonna take this next?
Who's gonna
Susan Boyle?
Oh, Susan Boyle. All right, well, don't make fun of her. She had some trouble.
And again, very talented, but some of these artists should just leave Leonard alone.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like Leonard's making money. I don't think he cares too much.
No. The royalty checks are coming in for him. Yeah.
Rolling it. I hope so.
I hope so, too. Finally, there was a parody. This was done for a benefit after Hurricane Sandy in 2012. And I'm going to tell you who the artist is. It's Adam Sandler.
Oh, God.
2012.
No.
And points to Adam for making fun of the Donald.
Oh, nice.
And also for finding new things that rhyme with Alleluia.
He does have a good little falsetto.
Yes.
That Adam Sandler.
Here he goes.
All right, let's hear it.
Trump's comb over always making us sick. The congressman who tweeted his dick. The mayor's ban on 32-ounce Mountain Dew. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The mayor's ban on 32-ounce Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for him to go up like his little...
Oh, there's plenty of that in the song.
Okay.
But I didn't want to bore you with all 4 minutes of it. But it's worth a listen.
Thank you.
It's worth a listen. So I just want to wrap this up. Number one, don't bother watching the Pentatonics whatever thing.
I won't.
Okay?
I won't.
My
jaw will stay firmly in place. I appreciate the advice.
I found this. Now, if you do a little research, it's actually quite amazing on the phenomenon that is the covers of Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. There was an article in the New York Times just like a month ago in September, and it's called How Pop Culture Wore Out Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. Yeah. And this paragraph, let me just read this for you.
Sure.
But Alleluia is most familiar from film and TV, where it has soundtracked dozens of deaths and breakups and has been belted in too many singing competitions to count, because it telegraphs emotion, both mournful and hopeful, and involves some vocal acrobatics. It has become shorthand for big emotional moment and employed by performers looking to stamp themselves with authenticity.
Yeah.
There you go. And Leonard's getting more and more checks every day.
Bam. Feelings.
Yeah.
Bam. I kind of feel the same about Israel, I will never get the last name right, so I'm going to say Brother Iz, that Hawaiian singer who's passed away, who did that wonderful version of...
the montage of What a Wonderful World and...
What a Wonderful World and Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yes.
Like, when I used to just hear the opening strains of that song and I would just cry every time because it was so beautiful.
Yep.
And it's still so beautiful, but it's become exactly, it's that shorthand for like, here's a touching moment.
Yeah.
And here's this song.
Yeah.
And now I just kind of go like, I'm dead inside.
Cue emotions. You know what? I forgot my favorite version.
Oh.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, Courtney, but I'm not. But if I was, she'd be it. Katie Lang.
Get it.
Take me now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's graphic.
Hallelujah.
She can sing. She can sing.
I'll tell you, I approve of your taste in women.
Oh, man. I've seen her a couple of times live, and last time was just a couple years ago at the Mount Baker Theater here in Bellingham, and I was lucky enough, a friend of mine had front row center seats, and she chose, I was lucky enough for her to take me, and it was, when she sang that song, it, I think it's part of her regular live performance repertoire, I guess, and I there were things going on in my body that,
you guys can't see Deb's face, but she's clearly reliving something right now because she's just like you froze there for a second.
I have
like
had a
were transfixed.
Yep. I've had a crush on her for years and years. I'm so glad I remembered her. That's how I wanted to end
that. Ain't no crush like a talent crush.
See, I'm not of that persuasion, but if she was here right now, and if she started singing to me, I can't promise that I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm okay with that because I find that extremely attractive. Her talent.
Yeah, dude.
I find extreme. Now, you know, if I'm like in proximity of her and she, you know, stinks or something weird like that, then that might change things. But strictly based on talent and what
this?
She can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little worked up here, Courtney. We should probably take a break.
Time out.
Whew, I gotta go smoke.
Time out. Deb needs a shower.
Okay, we're back. I'm cooled off. I went and had a shower, a cigarette.
Hoochie mama.
Thanks for your patience there.
Thank you. That was remarkable.
So as we record this, it's the 25th of October.
Yes.
And it is, what, like a couple days from the big Halloween holiday.
Oh, spooky. That's my hat. Were you scared?
That's very good. I was.
Yes. So it's almost Halloween. Do you have Halloween plans this year? Are you doing anything? Are you going as?
Don't. Listen,
I'm sorry.
Done this before. You are baiting my hook,
I
have to go off. No, you know my thing is everyone talks about what are you going as for Halloween? What are you going as for Halloween? Where's everybody going? And how come I haven't been invited? That's what I want to know.
They're going to parties, dude.
Well, clearly I'm not getting invited to those parties.
No, of course not. We're old. We don't get invited to no Halloween parties.
Where are you? What are you going as?
I'm not going as anything. I'm going to my couch, and I'm going to hand out candy.
Okay.
And I may be going to wear a wig, or not.
Is it a Monday? Is it a Monday? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a Monday. I do want to do a quick suggestion.
Yes.
So I know I talk a lot about getting freaked out, and I don't like to do scary movies because they do get in my head, and they do freak me out. But I do enjoy being told a good ghost story.
Ooh, okay.
So I will have a recommendation, which is for anyone who likes a good ghost story, Snap Judgment is an excellent podcast hosted by Glenn Washington. It's been around for a long time. It's a storytelling podcast. It's real people telling their stories, kind of like The Moth, but they call it storytelling with a beat. So it's more produced than The Moth, which is usually just someone up on a stage, at an open mic. Mm-hmm. And these are produced with sound effects and background and music and da da da.
A little more NPR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more curated.
Yeah.
Every October they do a Halloween episode called Spooked. And right now if you subscribe to their podcast, you can hear all of the previous Spooked episodes before they release their new Spooked episode. And I've heard, I think, four of them over the years, and a couple years I've skipped on purpose because I was like, I'm not in the right headspace, can't do it, won't do it.
Yeah.
But these are some good stories, and they're not all like scary. Some of them are just eerie. Some of them are just kind of make you think.
Yeah.
But they're definitely worth a listen if you're into that. So that's my recommendation.
Good. Thank
also,
you.
I have a beef.
Ugh.
I know this will shock you. I have beef.
Ugh. What's your beef?
I think I may have said this last year, but it's come up again and it's bothering me again.
Mm-hmm.
The Hallmark Channel. I recognize, okay, that the Hallmark Channel serves its own special purpose.
Mm.
I get that it has a lot of fans out there of a certain demographic.
Mm.
And a lot of those fans like to watch Christmas movies for, I don't know what we're at, what, like
2 months.
10 weeks?
2 months.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. We all have lives to lead. Okay, and Christmas is a big deal, I get it, but it's not the only frickin' holiday on the calendar, okay?
Mm.
Last year, Hallmark started showing their Christmas programming 24 hours a day, beginning on Halloween Day.
Oh boy.
Now if you ask me, that is a little extreme, because yeah. You've got Halloween, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got, I don't know.
Veterans Day?
Mondays. Like, you know, it just seems like a lot. So last year I was all irritated. I was like, oh my god, it started on Halloween. And this year I was like, oh, here they come, they're gonna start on Halloween again. Oh no, no, they're starting it I believe on the 28th.
Oh,
the 28th,
geez.
The 28th or the 29th, Friday or Saturday before Halloween is when they're starting their Christmas programming all the way through December. And I'm like, what the actual hell? And yeah. It's not just through, it's like end of October all the way through like January 4th or something.
Wow.
I think that's insane, especially because this year, okay, in the mornings I have a little bit of a routine, and part of that routine includes watching Little Golden Girls mm-hmm. before I go to work
mm-hmm.
because it is on the Hallmark Channel up through the end of October. So I've noticed, I've seen a lot of commercials on the Hallmark Channel. And I've noticed that they have a show called The Good Witch. I haven't seen it because the only thing I really watch on the Hallmark Channel is Golden Girls.
Uh-huh.
But I would assume from the name, it has something to do with witches. And I don't know if you know this, Deb, but witches, Halloween is kind of their jam. It's like their big season. So I'm very confused as to why a network would have a show about witches. And P.S. I did see a commercial for a Halloween special.
In the middle of their, yeah.
And then not show it on Halloween.
That is odd.
Take your autumn programming and stop it just when autumn is getting into full swing.
Right.
And say, right. Screw that. Here is snow and Santa. It's ridiculous.
I think we have like three seasons, at least in this country. We have Christmas.
Yeah.
And then we have gearing up for summer. Yeah. And then we have back to school.
Bikini body ready.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because those are the getting back to
yeah.
Because those are the okay. three very commercial. Well, there's little things like Valentine's Day, I guess,
yeah.
and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It just seems like we're getting more and more compacted. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I'm not one of these people who's going to go around like screaming my head off, but it's obscene.
Yeah.
It's a little obscene. Like, just everybody, I get you like Christmas. You know what? That's great. I just feel like you should. You want to skip Thanksgiving? It's a whole holiday about like wearing loose pants and eating, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Skip it. I don't want to see a movie about Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
It's going to be creepy.
Right.
But, you know, give Halloween its due. Give Halloween its due. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Courtney.
In the meantime, I have to go without Golden Girls for like,
oh, no.
for like two right. months.
How long? Yeah, through early. You said through early January even.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll be okay. I got them all up here, Deb.
That's right. You do.
All up here.
We need to play. Maybe next mixtape, we'll play 80s TV playback quiz with Courtney.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
When I'm not being, you know, when I'm not being allowed to cram every day. Yeah.
We'll get
okay,
you at your,
yeah.
at your weakest.
Why not? Let's do it.
I think that's a great idea. All right. Well, that's it for this episode 34 of Deb and Courtney's Mixtape. You can find us, I don't know, where? I mean,
We're on Facebook
yeah,
sometimes.
Sometimes.
We're on Facebook. We're on the iTunes.
That's true. Yeah.
We have an email address, Deb and Courtney's. No, hold on. Deb and Courtney's mixtape at gmail.com.
That's
all
right.
One word. Deb and Courtney's mixtape at gmail.com.
We should probably check that occasionally, just in case.
I've checked it.
You have?
There's a lot of spam in there.
Oh, man. We got to clear that out.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. We will see you next time on the mixtape. In the meantime, I'm Deb.
I'm Courtney.
See ya.
Are not going to believe this. Remember when we were talking about Hallelujah and all of the different versions there are out there? Remember how you said the Chipmunks probably do a version? And I kind of laughed it off like, yeah, even the Chipmunks do a version of Hallelujah. Well, it turns out you were right. I can't believe it. Hallelujah.